Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is a special presentation for the Belmont Stakes Festival Friday. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, coming to you from the Little House on the East Side in Saratoga. Very happy to be joined by a man coming to us from across town. You've seen him on our YouTube channel, where we are continuing this big push to get to 10,000 subscribers. Please help us out. Go over there, subscribe to the channel, click the notification bell, and maybe even more importantly, tell your friends. We really looking to create this community here at In the Money Media, and we want a lot more people in the boat. So help us out on that YouTube channel. Also, of course, you want to listen as you're doing to this to an audio only podcast wherever you get your podcast. In the Money Players Podcast, the place to find us there. And that man I referred to coming to us from across town is Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
Oh, just a little traditional stuck on mute. Saratoga, Belmont. Why wouldn't we have that? You know, it sounds like yesterday we did that live stream that you kind of ran off. You went 21 and change the night before. I think last night was my 21 and change, which is fine. I'm still surviving. I'm making it. You know how it is when you get to Vegas, you know, the first night you get a little wild. Yep. Saratoga will do that to you too. You know, I just, you know, probably – it's just always one too many, probably, but I was having such a good time. Went to Salivo last night, and it's the only time we're going to Salivo this entire week. It's just so busy that, you know, we decided to kind of lay low. We have 8 weeks around the corner to keep us rolling. So, and then as far as the subscriber thing is concerned, I want you to know this, Pete, the messaging's working well. I went upstairs this morning. I'm staying at the in-laws this trip and for the 8 weeks in the summer since we've, you know, relocated from Saratoga to the city. And my mother-in-law, Nancy, says, you got to show me how to subscribe to YouTube. I saw that Pete said you guys are looking for more subscribers. So the messaging is working.
That's good. We'll take it. If it has to be one at a time, that's the way we'll do it. I think we actually have a real chance to get to 9,000 at least by the end of the weekend. The big push is for 10,000, though, and getting that creative award. A creator award from YouTube, which Perrin has already told me she's going to steal, but we'll see about that. Let's talk about this pick six on Friday, JK. It's pretty cool racing. Starts off with two interesting allowance races and ends with a quartet of stakes, including three grade ones. Let me ask you this, though. The first race I had a schedule to talk to is race number seven, but I know you're capped up and down for this card. Is there anything you're dying to bet in the first six, or are you happy to focus your energy on seven through the end?
No, there's nothing I really necessarily need in the first six, which is relieving, too, because you know how these weekends, especially with all the, you know, the multi-day bets, and there's a million of them now, and I don't say that in a negative way. There's a million multi-day bets, and there's... It's when you start feeling inclined to have to bet the early pick five with a bunch of allowance races, the well can run dry there. You know what I mean? And so nothing early. But I do, I'm happy about Thursday's card. Even if we're going to lose some stuff, this is probably you'll probably catch the tail end of this. We're probably going to lose a little bit because of the weather, which is fine. You know, and then Saturday's just outstanding, and Sunday's also going to be an absolute war. So nothing early.
We've got shows for every day. You and Nick did one for the Thursday card. Looking forward to listening to that. I'm going to probably follow you guys in. The only race I've properly looked at for Thursday is that Gold Cup, which I'm psyched to see. But you mentioned those two-day bets. I'm going to commit the Cardinal hosts in here and ask you a question that I don't know the answer to. What's the best place, do you think, to get a line on what all of those two-day bets are?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You know, Pete, I know you love to put stuff on the website and make a pretty link. Let me see. I'm seconds away from having the email in front of me with all of them, and it's right here. Great. I mean, there's a ton. I'm just going to scream them out really quickly to you.
Web-based, JK? Because if it's web-based, I can put a pretty link, and we could just have like inthemoneypodcast.com/Naira, and people could just go there or something.
It's a PDF, unfortunately. Gold Cup to New York double. Okay. Intercontinental to Belmont Stakes double. Just a Game to Belmont Stakes double. New York to Belmont Stakes double. Acorn to Belmont Stakes double. Met Mile to Belmont double. There's a Belmont Turf triple on 6-6. That's today, right? There's a turf triple today. There's a turf triple on Friday, a turf triple on Saturday, a turf triple on Sunday. There's a 2-day pick four, 2-day pick five, 2-day pick six. There's a lot going on.
Here's what I'm going to do, because that's too much for people to absorb, even with rewinding and playing it at half speed and making us sound drunk, which is a fun game to play sometimes, by the way. Or you can go the other direction and put us on 2x speed, and we sound like Martin Scorsese in 1975. But what I will do, forward me that email, please. I'm just going to basically cut and paste and make a blog post out of it, and then folks can find it over there at I will make a pretty link. It'll be in themoneypodcast.com/Naira. I'll have that up by the time the show is out. And how to navigate. Here's what I would say. We've talked about this before. The idea is grade your opinions on the various races in from A, race I love, F, a race I don't want to touch, and then look at it. Look how it lays out. This will take a little bit of doing to do it manually. You could also do it with a spreadsheet and look for the opportunities in a double where you have, you know, 2A opinions, or a pick three where you have at least 2 out of 3 A opinions. You know, avoid the potholes, try to top up where your opinions are the strongest, and they'll help you make some good decisions in this. That was a lesson. That was actually originally a Matvag Volgi thing that we talked about on a Breeders' Cup show years ago. We got as much positive feedback for as anything we've done on the shows. Okay, let's dive into these races, my friend, starting with this Friday race 7. 3:46 Eastern, the scheduled post time for this allowance race for fillies and mares going 6. Return to the races of the well-hyped Money's Gold. Don't love the situation for Money's Gold with so much other pace signed on. I'm going to try to get cute, but how about you, JK? Are you with or against Money's Gold to kick off this pick 6?
I mean, I'm with her in terms of using her, but I think you got to use the 2 Just the Facts, Jack. The 3 Roswell, who I like a lot in here. I'm going to try to beat the 5 Kehoe Beach, which is Kehoe Beach. The 5 is the key to this thing, right? That horse is so damn fast early, but so is Money's Gold, which is why I feel like this race will fall apart. I'm going to go 2, 3, 4 as my A's, and I'm going to hold my breath and hope to stay alive here with a little speed of the speed. And one of the horses that I think is interesting as a closer.
The 2 is your top pick.
3 is the top pick.
Okay, 3 is the top pick, and we are in lockstep there. I thought this horse had a chance, maybe a little bit of a sneaky chance, to be the best closer with the right kind of trip in here. I think that it will set up for a closer. Junior Alvarado should be able to get her into a good, you know, mid-pack position, I'm hoping, and might just have more finish than the rest of these with a ground-saving in-and-out type trip. I wanted to make a case. I'll mention this horse. I wasn't going to mention this horse, but I'm going to mention Sam's Treasure. I do worry if she goes forward, I think she gets cooked. But this is Rosario, and if he doesn't make the lead, sometimes he'll hold and make one run, even where it doesn't necessarily seem that logical on the paper. If he does that with Sam's Treasure, I think she's got a little bit of a chance as well. I'm going to mention her as my lone B. Try to get out 3-8. I'll probably work your other 2 runners in some combinations as well. We'll move to another allowance race, number 8. This is for the boys going 6.5. On the dirt, we've got a big full field. The runner that I liked was Jefferson Street, the 12. This horse, I really like the attitude he's shown in his races. This is a hard trier who's run really well despite some tricky trips, and I thought would be another horse that was just going to be in a perfect position. You know, maybe top half of the field, no worse than mid-pack, has a little bit of finish. I guess if Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott start off doing well in this pick 6, so will I, JK. Who do you like in race number 8?
Well, I'm going to go quickly through this race. I have a question to ask you. So, I'm going to use Jefferson Street, the 12. I'm going to use the 10, One Giant Leap, who I thought was a little bit interesting as a crappy race last time. But the 2 races prior to that absolutely make that one interesting. The 6, El Capi, I'm going to use for sure. And the one horse that the one horse that I'm interested in but curious about is General Partner, who's obviously a standout in this race if he runs it here. But the fact that this race was 6.5, and he's entered on Saturday to go a mile, it makes me think that Chad wanted to make sure that mile in race, you know, he wanted to get him in. So he got him in the 6.5, but the mile race went on Saturday. So they're going to, I'm guessing, I have no inside information, that they're going to scratch out of this spot and run in the mile spot. If General Partner shows up in here, he's singleable to me. but I think he's probably going to run on Saturday.
I think that sounds right in terms of which race he's going to go in. I would just be worried off the bench with some of these other like proper sprint speed types. He's more of a route speed type horse. So I just think he looks better in the Saturday race. I think that's probably what they want. I think you're probably right. But I will mention the one as one that you will definitely include should he go in this spot, because, you know, I'll send around the In the Money Plus notes, and it doesn't hurt anybody to list a horse that ends up getting scratched. If folks are interested to learn more about In the Money Plus, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus, lots of extra shows, little digests from all the picks, grid picks, all this kind of information. Ooh, which reminds me, JK, we got to get that. When I say we, I mean me. And when I say me, I mean Tyler Wissman. We got to get those grid picks sent around so we can do those.
He actually sent the email this morning, production meeting in the middle of the show.
Good stuff. We always need those. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus if you want to avail yourself of all that extra information. Let's move on to the stakes piece of the card here, starting with the Intercontinental. And I'm just going to go first because I'm so darn boring. I just thought Roses for Deborah absolutely stood out in this spot. Going to get a great forward sit, great combination of speed and stamina. Funny enough, I have not always landed on this one. There's been a lot of days where a lot of sharp people were telling me to use Roses for Deborah where I have gone the other way. But I just think it's the absolute perfect spot for her. I saw an article in the Forum saying that, you know, maybe the wet wouldn't agree with her. I don't know where they get that from. I mean, 200 buyer speed figures on off going. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess where they get it from is the Turf Monster, but that was Parks. It was yielding. It was against males. This is a very different situation. Roses for Deborah looks pretty well nailed on to me in the Intercontinental. How do you see it?
Oh, I got a lot of things to say here. First of all, I've never heard you say like forward sit. So I want to know who you've been hanging out with. I feel like you're cheating on me a little bit, because that reminded me that I've heard you say, I like that horse's attitude. Never heard that before. I feel like you might be handicapping cheating on me a little, which we can talk about.
Those are both Britisms, I think. It's probably, from TV over there.
We can talk about it afterwards. But Roses for Deborah, 3-for-4 on turf courses listed as not firm. Ice cold single. She's one of the best turf sprinters in the country, in the world. She beats this field ice cold in here.
Yeah. Okay. We're in absolute lockstep there. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, a little counseling, we can work it out, or, you know, we'll just commit to some sort of handicapping polyamory. Let's move on to race number 10, Grade 1 action in the Just the Game Fillies and Mares, 4 and up, going a mile on the inner in this spot. I'll be honest. My lifetime ROI in Chad Brown team scrimmages is not good, JK. It's not good. And he's got, 5 in here? But I still have a strong opinion. I want to go right back to Coppice. This horse got very far back in the Distaff Mile, was very much fancied, it sounded like, by the barn and by a lot of horse players and by the market in there. Nearly got up, couldn't quite pass the talented Chili Flag. Sometimes these horses come back second start in the U.S. and they do back up a little bit, but I don't know. I liked Coppice so much there. I was going to go right back here, and that was really my only thought. It's a tricky race with all the horses coming out of the one barn, but I was going to go with the 4 Coppice. Who do you like?
Yeah, Coppice for me on top. I'll use Gina Romantica and White Beam as well. They're just talented horses. I will say this as well. You know, there's going to be some rain on Thursday, but if the turf course at Saratoga is anything like my in-laws' yard, you know, a mile away, there a little bit of rain's not going to hurt. It has been hot and steamy all week. I don't see this turf course being as like this just nasty, torn up, been raining all year. Racing on it. This is a fresh turf course that's going to take some rain, that the rails are going to be out on Thursday or on Friday. I just don't see it being a problem. So I wouldn't get carried away with off ground.
Terrific race up next in the form of the Grade 1 New York Fillies and Mares, 4 and up, 1 mile and 3/16 on the turf. And this is the race I did my Friday write-up over at theraces.com. You can read my horse-by-horse analysis there. Interesting race. I mean, just so many chances. Where did you end up landing?
I'm going to use Warlike Goddess because she's just damn, she's good. I think she's underrated in terms. I love her in certain spots, and then I try to like poo-poo her when she gets against the boys in the Breeders' Cup, and she always kind of shows up and runs okay. So I have no problem with her. I'm going to use the two English Rose as well, and then Aspen Grove, who I liked last time, who got caught chasing a slow pace. Look, this is a wide open race. You can make a lot of cases. The equity in this sequence for me is finding a way to use as little as possible. I'm going to try to get out of here with the 2 and the 10 as A horses and the 4 as a B. And I'm going to just try to hold my breath that horses like, Didia or McCulloch don't beat me.
I'm going with American Sonia in this spot, and I think we're going to get a good price on her. She was just so good at Saratoga last summer. Looks to have improved since then and has to improve off that race in France where, she ran really well, but just the condition arrow pointed in the right direction for this one. And I love the fact that she has that course and distance form. And really, I mean, the reason why I'm making her the top pick, just a better, probably the best, not probably, the best price of the ones I really like on the win end, though I certainly respect your Aspen Grove case and do think that that one's been against the flow the last twice. Aspen Grove, definitely one I could see using for underneath, but not part of my official picks. The other two I'm officially going to be putting in the grid picks in the money plus information, the 2 English Rose. I wrote down American Rose. Not sure how I did that. Who I think is going to get the right kind of trip in this spot was that was a good second, I thought, in the Jenny Wiley Grade 1, fits at this level, and then Didia, who was right behind her. But Didia, I thought, had a little bit of an excuse maybe in the last race, having to engage a little bit earlier than ideal. I think there's enough pace here. She could absolutely trip out as well. So for me, it's going to be 5, 2, and 3 in the New York. One more race to discuss on this show. And what a race it is. The Grade 1 Acorn, 3-year-old fillies. A little bit of a rematch of the Kentucky Oaks with Torpedo Anna taking on Just FYI. When it comes to this pick 6 on Belmont Stakes Friday, JK, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, Just FYI will be my official choice in here. Torpedo Anna I'll use as an A horse. And then I want to have Power Squeeze and My Main Squeeze, the squeeze horses, as B types. I think they're interesting. I think Just FYI turns the table. I think Torpedo Anna was impressive in the Oaks. And I think that she really kind of, thrust herself onto the scene. I think the talks of her running in the Belmont were some of the silliest talks I've ever heard. I think she's good. I think she's a good horse. But I think Just FYI is a good horse, too. And I think she's going to turn the tables on her this time around.
I agree, but and I have trouble articulating why. Other than I do think Torpedo Anna ended up with a terrific trip on probably a tactically advantaged part of the track. I kept going back and forth. My original thought, like if you asked me in the minutes after they hit the line in the Oaks, I would have said, Just FYI, kind of a no-finish trip. Maybe she wants a cutback. But looking at it more, I think it might have more just been Torpedo Anna being advantaged as opposed to Just FYI being disadvantaged. I mean, she did empty out late, and you look at her pace line, and it shows that. But I don't know. I loved her in there. I have reasons to – the Torpedo's going to get hammered. I'm going with Just FYI and hoping for the best in this year's Acorn. When you talk about turning the tables, if I held your feet to the fire as to a specific reason why, what would you say?
Yeah, I agree with you. Funny enough, because I wanted to say that, like, I wanted to say that Just FYI, maybe, Bill Mott just he's great with a target. Maybe he kind of missed the target a little bit. She was maybe just a touch short leading into that race, but I don't think that's true. I don't want to say that. And also, Torpedo Anna was kind of late to the party to a certain extent in terms of, like, she had only run, twice in 2024. So, I don't know. That idea that I want to say out loud kind of poo-poos on it. I think it's just a feeling that I have that Just FYI and Torpedo Anna are very similar horses and give me the longer-priced one in a home game for Bill Mott.
And how about this? She's been burning up the track in the mornings, at least according to the work tab, won the best of 22, May 20th,
and then a nice looking move as well on May 31st. Don't have a clocker report, but just looking at the tab, I think that's right. And sometimes it's, you just don't, there's a recency bias where, you know, Torpedo Anna is going to be bet probably more so even than the morning lines, I would think, below where Just FYI is. And one race ago, I liked it the other way around. I don't know. I feel like you end up chasing your tail sometimes when you're like, well, Torpedo Anna beat her last time. She's got her on the form book. Let's go in that direction. More often than not, I think it pays to stick to the guns. I like Just FYI in the Oaks. Going to give her another chance in the Acorn. Let's leave it here, JK, because we actually have another show to record, and I know you have an out. The other show we're going to do is for Plus on the early races for Saturday, but there's a ton more content wherever you get your podcasts, or check out lots of other stuff from us over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, including the blog post I'm going to put up with those 2-day and the 2-day wagers and all the special wagers happening this weekend. For JK, I'm PTF. May you win all your photos.